Speaking of a Navajo myth, I didn't know when I would get to show you some of this, but I do want to show you because it's very relevant to what we're talking about. Among the Navajo people, spiritual healing is incredibly important. They have a tradition, I dare say it reaches back to their Siberian origins, but it's still there. Their medicine and their healing practices are very highly developed. One night, probably 25 years ago on the coast of Maine, it was a dark and stormy night, actually. In a friend's house, I saw some paintings. They were obviously paintings, but I'd never seen that style of artwork, and I had no idea what they were about. I think this was one of them. Can you all see this? What do you see?
An arch, arrows, cross.
You see an arch? Of course you see an arch. You see a fourfold object. It is a mountain, actually. And you see the rainbow of Earth Woman, who is a goddess of Navajo religion. And you see two little footprints down here on the bottom. They're actually triangles, but they're footprints of two brothers. These brothers are off on a journey to see their father. And their father is the sun, S-U-N. And they're just, how old would you think they are when they decide to leave their mother's house?
12.
12. So the archetype has practical uses. And so they take off. And they take off on a journey. They have never known their father. They've lived with their mother for 12 years, which is typical in some primitive, in some traditional societies. Now, they're going from their home on Earth Woman's mountain in search of their father, the S-U-N. And they start in the southern extremity of Navajo land, where there are four Navajo mountains. These are the four mountains of Navajo religious life, and to some extent, geography. And this arc, again, is a sign, I think, of the spiritual quest that stands over them as they leave. They take leave of their mother. Well, they do it in their own way. They just go. And she doesn't know that. But they come to the edge of the desert. And the legend says there is Sand Dune Boy at the edge of the desert. And if you're not in the right state of mind or the right form of character, Sand Dune Boy will get you and stick your head in the sand and you're a goner. So they understand archetypally that this kind of journey or quest is dangerous. So it's dangerous because it's going to mean the end of something. And you know what that is. It's their childhood. Well, that's an early stage as they start off. They are able to sing Navajo songs to Sand Dune Boy, and he lets them pass. And they're on their way. Now, I'm not going to tell you about their encounter with Spider Woman. Spider Woman is also the one who weaves the net of the world and of reality. And she also is going to conspire with them against the powers of the patriarchy of the sun. And she gives them each a little black feather to put inside their jacket. She says, when you get in trouble, listen to the feather. It will sing. Why a feather? Well, feathers are parts of birds. Birds are symbols of spirit. Here's heaven, guiding the journey. Well, they get up to the home of the household of their father in the sky, but before they leave Earth, they come to a large body of water. And there they stand, these two 12-year-old boys. One is a child born of water, and the other is monster slayer. they want to go see their father primarily because the life of the people on earth has been disturbed by demons and monsters. Read neuroses and psychoses. The people are distraught. Life is ragged and ungratifying. They've forgotten how to live together and all of that. There's illness. And it's the repair of all this that these boys want to find. But they will first have to fight the monsters. And to do that, they need to be men, warriors. And to be that, they will also need weapons. Anyway, all of that is part of the myth, too. I have six plates here, but there are 18 of them. I have them around the walls of my consulting room, like an ark. I call it my Navajo healing wall. And they do find their father, and they say, "Father, we have come to find you." And he says, "I'm not your daddy. Don't talk to me like that. I'm not your father." And they say, "But yes, you are. We know you are." "No, no, no, not puny creatures like you. I'm not your father. Get out of here." And they don't budge. And the son thinks, these guys have something extra. Maybe there's something to their story. Well, the dialogue goes on, and finally the son says, "Well, if you are my SONs, you should be able to prove it by withstanding some tests." And there again is the archetypal idea of the testing of the hero. You see, this is the myth of the hero. Where did it come? In the deserts of Arizona, or maybe from the ice fields of Siberia. Who knows where? It came with human beings who are ready to create this kind of mythology. So there they are. And the son is going to devise some tests for them. And he does. And really, they're quite strenuous. Sharp knives threatening to cut them up. Putting them on a high platform, they have the danger of falling off. But in all of this, they listened to the feathers singing in their jacket, and they know that they have serious help for all of this. And they do survive all the tests. And their father comes back to the tent in which they've been confined during this time. And he sees that they're still alive. And he says to himself, "How did they do that? How did they do that? It must be that they are my sons." And then there's a grand reunion, father and sons. Now, I didn't show you in the first slide, I don't have that slide, first picture, that they were tiny little creatures when they started off on the quest. But now, when they've been accepted by their father through a ritual of suffering, through a crucifixion that was not lethal, but it involved a kind of dying, but not permanent and terminal. They become men. And you see, what I know, but you can't see, is that their stature is doubled. Now they're bigger. This is Monster Slayer in black and Child Born of Water in blue. They're standing each on a rug of their own color, a bear rug, and each of them holds in his hand weapons, weapons of war, actually, conflict. Then, by the magic of the moment, the two become four. Remember the alchemist, Maria? Out of the one comes the two. Out of the two comes the three. And out of the three comes the fourth as the one. That's West European alchemy of about the 16th century. This is Navajo desert land in Arizona. Four of them now. They are multiplied in their powers and their potency as young warriors. They go back to earth. They step out of heaven or the sky, and they come back to earth, and they go to engage the monsters that are troubling the people. And they stand around a lake, and the lake is surrounded by the four Navajo mountains. This whole story has such centrality such forness, we should recognize it, and we do instantly. The battle ensues. They trick the monsters, who are, after all, stupid, as monsters typically are, by standing across the lake and creating a reflection in the water. Of course, the monster sucks up all the water to attack the being in the water. And they say, ha, ha, ha. And the monster pretty soon gets full of muddy water and has to lie down. That's when they get it. So they win. They conquer. The battle has been engaged. The victory has been won. The people are relieved. But the heroes are profoundly drained and exhausted by this whole epic story. And what they do is summon all of the Navajo gods and goddesses. In the last painting, they summon all of them to come to the first performance of this myth as a healing ritual for the twin brothers who brought about the salvation of the people. Story ends happily, and there wasn't a single boy-girl thing in it, except with Mother and Spider-Woman, but no romance. It's all ritual, profound ritual, anchored in a millennium or more of tradition. And it's carried, and I'll tell you when it reappeared. It reappeared at the end of the Second World War. Many Navajo people had forgotten this myth. They didn't know its prayers and songs. There are 200 to 300 prayers and songs, and they have to be learned perfectly. If the shaman makes a mistake in singing either a prayer or a song, the whole ceremony has to stop. And then there are songs for the repair of the ritual. They have to sing the repair songs. And then when the gods have been placated and might agree to come, the ritual goes on. It can take 9 days and nights. Very much like a Scandinavian myth. That's where Odin hung on a tree for full days nine. But the gods and goddesses here are the mountains and the qualities of Navajo life. You find in here the sun god. These others I can't name for you fully. I'm sorry. Here's Corn Boy and Corn Girl and several others. But that's the whole panoply of gods and goddesses. Now, this myth might have been lost in history but for the Second World War. Because during that time, Navajo young men left the tribal reservation and joined the U.S. Army. And remember, as the scouts who spoke Navajo, code talkers. And the war was over, and they were mostly in the Pacific, but not only. And they performed a valuable service. But after the war was over, they came back. And what are they going to come back to? They will have to go back into the Navajo world, into their villages and the reservation. But the people of the reservation said, we have to have a sing for these men because they have gone out into the white man's polluted world. They have fought in his war. They have been spiritually contaminated. They have to be restored to the collective of Navajo life in the proper way. And the only way to do that is with a healing ceremony, and we have it, the ceremony of where the two came to their father. And this ceremony was reinitiated and re-sung for those code talkers when they came back. So that's the story of these pictures. And I'm glad I got a time to show them to you because I couldn't figure out where they fit in. But they fit in right here. So if you don't know where a thing goes, wrap it up and put it somewhere. And the right time will come. Okay, I think we have had our full time today. So all that remains now is dinner. So thank you very much for this afternoon.